with Professor Josiah Osgood. Uncommon Wrath, How Caesar and Cato's Deadly Rivalry Destroyed the Roman Republic. 1 year later, from the murder court, there is a conspiracy to destroy the Republic led by a man named Catiline, who's a rascal, ruthless, a bankrupt, a man who takes advantage of people routinely and plies them with liquor and favors. However, he's in so much debt that he promotes himself as a man of the people, because there are a lot of people in debt at this time, including farmers in Tuscany and the rabble in the streets and senators, optimates, who've been broken by spending too much and not having a source of income. Catiline is a threat, and we come to a day in which Cicero, who is a parallel significant figure but not involved deeply in the Cato-Caesar rivalry at this point, I think of Cicero as taking advantage of both of them at various times over these next years. Cicero denounces Catiline in the Senate, and the professor makes most important dramatic decisions at this point about Caesar and Cato rising separately and speaking against each other as to what is to be done with five members of the Catiline conspiracy who've been caught with weapons plotting against the Republic. What should we do with them? Professor, I turn this over to you because you make it a Shakespearean moment. I believe that Caesar speaks first. What is his recommendation?
Yes. So Cicero was in charge of the debate, and he was calling on the senators. And the first few to speak said that these men who'd been arrested with clear evidence should be sentenced to death. They were enemies of the Republic. So it came to the turn of Julius Caesar, and he gave an unexpected proposal. He said, no, the Senate will regret this if we take the lives of these citizens. Yes, they're citizens, Caesar said. They're not enemies. We will be blamed by it late. We will be blamed for this later. They deserve a trial. So Caesar came up with an innovative proposal. His idea was to put them under a sort of permanent arrest, which actually didn't really exist in the Roman Republic. And this would sort of be a compromise. It would buy time. It would prevent this execution from happening. So Caesar seemed to prevail. Suddenly, even senators who had spoken earlier sort of reversed their positions. Cicero was kind of upset about this. He wanted these men removed. And the argument for that, one of the arguments for that was, of course, Catiline has an army in northern Italy. And if we take serious action in Rome, it will bleed him of his supporters. They'll melt away. All right, so it looks like Caesar was going to prevail. And then Cato stood up. Cato was 5 years younger. He'd only recently joined the Senate. He really wasn't an established speaker in the Senate at all. And he gave what proved to be the speech of his life. He lectured the senators. He said they were showing spinelessness, that serious action had to be taken to save the Republic, and that the initial proposal to execute should be implemented. And what he also did, this is why the rivalry began at this point in earnest. He also implicated Caesar himself in the conspiracy. He didn't really have direct evidence, but probably Caesar had been a friend of Catiline at one point, and Cato sort of smeared him personally. And this was kind of standard in some ways. Obviously, this was a momentous debate, but younger politicians in Rome, one way they sort of established themselves was to take on somebody a little bit bigger. So Cato did that. And that was when the quarrel really began.
And the quarrel will last through their lifetimes, through Cato's lifetime and then Caesar's lifetime. Caesar never gets away from Cato's reputation. And we need to establish it, Professor. Right now, the young man who rises to speak against Caesar, His great-great-grandfather was Cato the Elder, the man we associate with Carthago, delenda est. Carthage must be destroyed. However,
yes, kind of the ultimate hardliner.
But his personality turned on being stoical. What did that mean to Cato the Younger? How did he represent himself as an inheritor of his famous great-grandfather?
Yeah, so the great-great-grandfather, he had sort of actually been a new man, the first in his family to enter politics. And the way he did that was kind of to pose as more virtuous than thou, right? You know, the most austere, most old-fashioned, most glorious Roman. And Cato the Younger, the rival of Julius Caesar, he sort of copied that playbook. That was his technique too. But he, you know, he would be the most honorable Roman. He had a reputation for honesty, right? There was sort of a joke going around in one of the courts once. There was a case, a trial, and only one witness. And the arguing lawyer said, well, you can't believe a case if there's only one witness, even if it were Cato himself. So it's this incredible reputation. But what he added to it was Stoicism, right? The Greek philosophy that really sort of emphasized fair dealing for all. And Cato brought that into the mix. He felt, for example, Rome's overseas subjects and the empire deserved fair treatment. So that was kind of a way to even add further to this reputation of his that was very powerful.
Caesar had a reputation as well, and within the next year, they'll demonstrate this violence and confrontation and chicanery at the Forum. The professor makes it very clear that all Rome turned on the drama in the Forum. You had to be there, you had to witness it, you had to explain yourself as best you can by shouting. It's important that Cato has a very strong voice, and Caesar is an excellent rhetorician. They both have skills, but Caesar's important characteristic is dignitas. What did that mean to him, Josiah?
Yeah, so dignitas is kind of your standing. And it's standing that needs to be validated by the community as a whole, right? So it would be a matter of political office, being elected to the best offices, the top offices, also being given a triumph. These were the great military parades that would wend their way through the streets of the city and end in a sacrifice to the god Jupiter. You display all the spoils. You wanted to have more impressive spoils, more impressive captives than anyone else before. So this was kind of the culture, and we have to accept that Caesar seems, by modern standards, with our Judeo-Christian ethics, very egotistical. But of course, in Rome, it was good to be the top dog.
The Forum is the theater of power, as the professor makes very clear. This is all demonstration for each other to rise to power and hold on to it. Cato is regarded as steadfast, Constantia, because of how he stands up to the chicanery in the Forum directed against him by friends of Caesar. At the same time, Caesar, his dignitas is everything, and he goes off for a command in Spain. When we come back, it's important now to turn to a new player in this mix who will be significant in the civil war ahead of us. His name is Pompey the Great, Pompey Magnus. Professor Josiah Osgood, Uncommon Wrath is the book. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.